Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T, on blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, the best hour radio broadcast. On our podcast today, we're going to continue as we discuss the lessons of A Course in Miracles. We'll be doing that throughout the year. Today is day 37 of this new year, 2020, and we're on lesson 37. Today's lesson's a little bit longer. But things are really starting to come together at this point as we approach into our second month, I should say, in our studies. And let's just jump right in. Lesson 37, My Holiness Blesses the World. This idea contains the first glimmerings of your true function in the world, or why you are here. Your purpose is to see the world through your own holiness. Thus are you and the world blessed together. No one loses. Nothing is taken away from anyone. Everyone gains through your holy vision. It signifies the end of sacrifice because it offers everyone his full due, and he is entitled to everything because it is his birthright as a son of God. There is no other way in which the idea of sacrifice can be removed from the world's thinking. Any other way of seeing will inevitably demand payment of someone or something. As a result, the perceiver will lose, nor will he have any idea why he is losing. Yet is his wholeness restored to his awareness through your vision. Your holiness blesses him by asking nothing of him. Those who see themselves as whole make no demands. Your holiness is the salvation of the world. It lets you teach the world that it is one with you, not by preaching to it, not by telling it anything, but merely by your quiet recognition that in your holiness are all things blessed along with you. Today's four longer exercise periods, each to involve 3 to 5 minutes of practice, begin with a repetition of the idea for today, My Holiness Blesses the World, and then followed by a minute or so of looking about you as you apply the idea to whatever you see. My Holiness Blesses this chair. My Holiness blesses that window. My Holiness blesses this body. Then close your eyes and apply the idea to any person who occurs to you, using his name and saying, My Holiness blesses you, and just add their name. You may continue the practice period with your eyes closed. You may open your eyes again and apply the idea for today to your outer world, if you so desire. You may alternate between applying the idea to what you see around you and to those who are in your thoughts. Or you may use any combination of these two phrases of application which you prefer. The practice period should conclude with a repetition of the idea with your eyes closed and another following immediately with your eyes open. The shorter exercises consist of repeating the idea as often as you can. It's particularly helpful to apply it silently to anyone you meet, using his name as you do so. It's essential to use the idea if anyone seems to cause an adverse reaction in you. Offer him the blessing of your holiness immediately, that you may learn to keep it in your own awareness. My holiness blesses the world. Let's take a good deep breath and pause for just a moment as we reflect on this idea for today. My holiness blesses the world. And there we have it. In only 38 short lessons, we've discovered our purpose for being here. We've established a foundation to begin to build our life of today and tomorrow and this week and this month and this year and the future. We've discovered that we are not victims because God did not create victims. We've discovered that we are holy, that we can indeed become and be and express ourselves as an incredible friend to anyone and everyone around us. Is there any doubt that our brothers and sisters are troubled? Is there any doubt that we've had our own experiences of being troubled about our purpose in the world and why we're here and what we're doing and the situation that seems to be around us that at once appears that we have no control of whatsoever? But in these lessons, we begin to discover, oh no, we have very much power. In fact, we are the cause, not the effect. The world is not the cause. It's the effect. It's the effect not only of the thinking of the world, but it is absolutely an effect of our thinking, our belief system, what we hold dear, near and dear to our heart. Do we have an idea of vengeance? Do we have an idea and hold an idea that something is wrong in the world, that something needs to be fixed? That maybe there's someone in our family that's wrong, and if they could just be better as we would like them to be, that our life would be better? Could it be something to do with our bosses or our children or our parents, our siblings, our spouses, our teachers, our politicians, the country next door? See, we can point outward from ourselves in all directions, and it looks like we can find something wrong. But if we're looking to find something wrong, we will find it indeed, because we see what we expect to see. That's the teaching. We see what we expect to see. What are you expecting to see? Can we change our expectations? Oh, yes, absolutely. We've discovered that we are indeed holy, and that my holiness blesses the world. My holiness envelops everything. My mind is a part of God. I must be holy. We've discovered that thoughts are things, that we are indeed the cause. And we only need to look within at the thoughts that we're holding to begin to change the outer, because it's only a reflection of what is within us. And what is in within us is simply a choice to listen to two thought systems. We're beginning to see that there's always been two thought systems, though one of them seems to be muted to us because we hold expectations through the eyes of a thought system of fear. And that's what we've been trained to do. That's what we've been conditioned to do by well-intentioned people, no doubt. But that's what we have been conditioned to expect. We've been conditioned to walk gently and carefully through the world, maybe even on eggshells at times, and to people please, that is to withhold our true thoughts, withhold any thought or any comment or any expression that might cause someone else to be upset, even if it's exactly what we know to be the truth for ourselves and for them. We don't speak our truth, what we feel in our heart, at the fear, and it is fear indeed, of upsetting someone. We might even decide that it's okay to lie. Oh, a little white lie, no big deal. It's not. None of it's a big deal. That's the whole point. It's not a big deal. But it is a choice to stay locked into, imprisoned by an energy, by a vibration, by a consciousness that keeps us in a place of suffering and struggle and lack and fear and anger and depression and anxiety and apathy and shame and guilt. And the list goes on. And we can let it go. We are free in every moment that we choose to tune out of listening to that voice for fear. Now, we've named it several things. We call it the ego self. Well, that's pretty common for us. We can look around and say, oh, he's in his ego today, whatever, she's in her ego, she did this out of her ego, or she's this, she's that, he's this, he's that. We've got plenty of labels and definitions. We are giving everything all the meaning that it has, so we can now choose, because we now know we have a choice, to withhold judgment. Withholding judgment is the most powerful thing we can do today. Because when we withhold judgment, there is only the spacious self that remains. And the spacious self, the capital S self, the true self, is the voice for love. And looking through the vision of that mind, that consciousness, that self, we see the innocence of all that's really transpiring around us in our world. And in that moment, we become holy. Or I should say, we're tuned into the holy self. It's always available. It's not us changing. It's us returning to what we naturally are. What we have been expressing as the self of fear is an unnatural state of being. Because it's not what God created. What God created is a self of joy, an extension of God. There is absolutely no potential in a God that's perfect for a part of that self to be sinful or feel guilty or to be unloving or to be angry or to be a whole list of all the things that we now understand are an ego self that we have really made up out of whole cloth. We've made this self up out of nothing, out of our imagination. And the world mirroring reflections of that consciousness, those vibrations, mirrors back exactly what we expect to see through that vision, the vision of fear. We've discovered great things in our first 37 days in the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. It is a miracle because the miracle is a sudden shift of perception, and we can withhold judgment and shift immediately, and it is a miracle indeed, into the self of love. We could call it the Holy Spirit, but it's nothing more than your right mind. It is your true self, capital T, capital S self, and it's available. My holiness blesses this chair. My holiness blesses this window. My holiness blesses this body. My holiness blesses this one that I love, my beloved, my mother, my father, my children. Everyone around us is blessed when we practice the choice of being an incredible friend. Everyone in the world is affected, literally everyone, because we are all joined in union and relationship. There is no, ever has been, any possibility of separation whatsoever. Those are nothing more than illusions. They are dreams, a game that we play, if you will, with each other, like Monopoly. It's just a game. And for a while, it seems that we can gain. And then it seems like maybe we can prosper. And then it seems like maybe we can lose. And then it seems like maybe we're in a world of lack. Or maybe we're in jail and we have no get out of jail free card. The examples are everywhere, but they're just playing out the thoughts that we give our awareness to. And that thought stream is not our thoughts, truly. It's just a thought stream of fear that all of the sonship has access to and gives its awareness to, except for those that recognize they have a choice. That would be you. That would be me now. After this teaching from our brother Jesus Christ, we see after 37 days, our holiness envelops everything and blesses the world. And our holiness is not some ideal self. We've talked about this quite a bit these last few days. The ideal self is a construct of the ego, seeing itself as something less than perfect. But we are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And we must begin to see our brothers and sisters and ourself therefrom. Let's take a good deep breath. My holiness blesses the world. But it doesn't just happen because I'm busy doing other things. It happens, if you will, when I move into the awareness of my true self. I check in, so to speak, with my true self. I take that good deep breath and I turn within. For myself, I found it myself, my practice that kind of developed over time was to just simply ask the question to begin the dialogue. And the question is simply, are you there? And the answer responds. And the answer is, of course, yes. And the next thing I experience myself doing is to say, I love you. Because I know that there's a relationship. There is dialogue. There's conversation. I am not alone. I have never been alone. And for almost all my life, only over these past few years did I even know that I had that choice. And once I discovered that I had that choice, I was devoted and determined to hear that voice, to know that it is possible. If I have an expectation that it's possible, then it must be so, because my brother Jesus has shared this truth with me. It must be so. I need to persist in my practice. And my practice is so simple in definition, but can be difficult in execution because it requires me to do nothing. It requires me to listen instead of think. It requires me to be aware and present instead of thinking about the past or the future. It requires me to be quiet rather than to practice my agenda for the day. I'll share with you something that was shared with me not so long ago that I found to be very profound in its expression. What is love? How do we know? What are the attributes of love? Attributes of love. They're very simple. Love is quiet. Love has no need to puff itself up. Love has no agenda. And lastly, and importantly, love remembers those first three attributes. How can I be loving today? How can I express my holiness today? I can be loving. I can be quiet. I can withdraw the ego's attempt to puff itself up because it needs to feel validated or self-worth or worthy or anything. I am perfect, neither behind the portal of perfection nor advancing toward it. Take a good deep breath and say that to yourself right now. I am perfect. Neither advancing toward perfection. I'm at that state, and I must see myself therefrom. My holiness blesses the world. My perfection blesses the world. My truth blesses the world. An incredible friend would withhold judgment, especially harsh judgment. An incredible friend would be simply loving. Maybe just to be present, maybe to be quiet and allow someone else to express themselves. It's fine how they express themselves. Our purpose isn't to correct anyone out there. Period, period, period. We don't need to seek justice in the world. We need to seek the opportunity within ourselves to remember this lesson today on a regular basis. My holiness blesses the world. My holiness envelops everything I see. And as we hold this energy, this high vibration of love, with no need to puff ourselves up, with no agenda, to just be quiet as we go through our day and stay in dialogue, stay in communion, stay in contact with the higher self, indeed, we bless the world, no doubt. There is no other way in which the idea of sacrifice can be removed from the world's thinking. Sacrifice has been used by the structures of the ego mind, the world's thought system, as a way to establish credibility in the world. Oh, this person makes great sacrifice for others. It's a slippery slope, my friend, because the world's teaching says if you can demonstrate to the world that that you're a person of great sacrifice, because those are the avatars, those are the people, those are the saints, those are those in our history of our world who have demonstrated great sacrifice, are icons. Even our brother Jesus was said to have sacrificed life. His life for your sins. Yet in the first 37 days of this workbook lesson journey, we have already discovered that if you are an extension of God's mind, your mind is a part of God's, and that God is perfect love, there is no place in God's mind for sin. Therefore, you, being a part of God, there is no possibility. There is no possibility in reality, in truth, that you could ever be guilty of anything, or nor could anyone else. Nor could anyone else. And if God has already given you everything there is to have, there is nothing that has ever or could possibly ever be withheld, then there is no possibility that there would ever even be a need for sacrifice. That's impossible. When we get down to beginning to apply reason and logic to the argument of the world, we see that it's full of holes. It's built on a house of cards. It's made up of ideas founded in illusion. And we can indeed begin to have different expectations. And if we have different expectations, what do we find? We are looking to see something different. We see something different. We have a different expectation. Jesus once said in a channeling through Rajpur that sacrifice is as far from love as you can possibly be. So why would someone make a sacrifice, we could ask ourselves? Isn't that a noble event? Well, in A Course in Miracles, and we'll touch on it again and again, and we'll come back to this, so don't get too hung up on it as I share it with you today, if I haven't already, but all events are neutral. All events are neutral. We're giving them all the meaning that it has. So if we see an event where someone appears to have been making a sacrifice, we would hold them above others as an ideal self, that we would now be that person. Our brother Jesus did not sacrifice his life for you. What he was demonstrating for you is that you are much more than a body, that you exist literally outside the body, and that the body is simply a communication device, a projection of your mind that you can put in form, if you will, project into form, and you have, that can be used to communicate with the brotherhood, the sonship, those of us who are existing in our mind in a limited four-dimensional experience. And so he did. His demonstration was that the body in and of itself is really has no importance. In reality, in the quote-unquote grand scheme of things, it's not who you are. And he was demonstrating that it was not who he was. And even in the story that you could find in the Urantia book, that when Peter drew his sword, Jesus said, "Put your sword away. I cannot be persecuted." And another teaching that Rajpur shared through Paul Tuttle, this is Jesus channeling through Raj and teaching A Course in Miracles, in fact, You can find him. He shared that a story of the day of the crucifixion in one setting with Raj, with Paul, and he's in an audience, and he said that the body was no more important than the wood that it was nailed to, right, of the cross, or no more important than the ground that the wood of the cross was planted in, if you will. That I was not the body, he was saying. He said, I was kind of sitting up on the hill some short distance away, watching the shift of perception that this act of crucifixion was a demonstration that sacrifice would never need to be made. That life does not end when the body is no longer activated by you. The body is just a tool that you've chosen to activate, to have an experience, to know yourself, your true self, to really know who and what you are is to awaken from the dream of separation. Your holiness blesses the world. Your holiness is the salvation of the world. It lets you teach the world that it is one with you, not by preaching to it, not by telling it anything, but merely by your quiet recognition that in your holiness are all things blessed along with you. Let's take a good deep breath. What a powerful journey we've taken on here. It's an amazing journey. And the journey continues. But you began this journey long, long ago when you chose to be here with us, the brothers and sisters of the Sonship of God, joined together in union and relationship in Christ. We came here for a reason. This idea, My Holiness Blesses the World, contains the first glimmerings of your true function in the world and why you are here. Let this resonate with you today. Remember, 4 practice periods of 3 to 5 minutes. And as often as you would like to, whenever you remember it, repeat the phrase to yourself today, My Holiness Blesses the World. And remember, you can indeed be an incredible friend to your brothers and sisters today, regardless of how they're expressing who they are in the moment that they find themselves with you. Remember, your holiness blesses the world. Stay the course, my brothers and sisters. We'll see you tomorrow.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea.